Hello everybody, Professor Venkatayar again, chapter 8, a small chapter which is talking about transfer of training. What is transfer of training? XYZ goes for a training program and he or she is supposed to go and see that the training program's effects are transferred to other people also. The reason why everybody cannot go for a training program is the company cannot afford to have that type of budget. So certain chosen people are taken for the training program. They are supposed to learn the training, absorb the behavior, and then go and debrief to the others and transfer it. Right? So let's see what is in store for us. The object is understand what transfer of training or learning is all about. Have knowledge about the factors enhancing learning. Transfer of training or TOT refers to the transfer of learning process into an effective, irreversible, constant behavior. It starts with you, the person who's going for the training program. Transfer of training is effective when your behavior, existing behavior B1, becomes a new behavior B2 irreversibly. There are quite a few factors that contribute to the effective transfer of training. It starts with the prime focus and the target of the training learning process, namely the trainee, his readiness and willingness to go through the process. It starts with the willingness and the readiness of the trainee. When you go to the training program, you must be willing and ready to make the change. In most cases, people are not ready and willing, not by deliberately, but by default, because we are used to certain comfort zone and existing way of doing things. In a training program, they tell you to do something more than that. They tell you to step out of your comfort zone. So the willingness and the readiness takes time for certain people to get into. It is the role of the trainer to make it appealing, to make it worthwhile, to have a good dialogue with the trainee so that he or she is willingly and readily to go through the process. Learning in the training room is one thing. Retaining the learning and sustaining it consciously over a period of time is quite another. It's very nice to learn many things sitting at home, reading books, attending a lecture. But when somebody tells you convert this learning into an action, out of every 1,000 people or 100 people, only one or two percent makes it happen. It takes a lot of resistance to overcome. The resistance to learning comes, learning something new comes because you are already in a status quo, in a comfort zone, and that becomes quite challenging, right? Training or learning being related to behavioral change is not like an event. It's not a one-day affair that things can change. Behavior takes time to change. It's an ongoing process. I mentioned this in the earlier slides. The old behavior B1 gives way to the new behavior B2. And we know behavior takes time to change, not always within the time space of the training program. In 2 days, you cannot change anybody's behavior. In 1 day, you cannot change it. Even a week, you can't change it. But what really changes is the way the person puts the behavior into action under field conditions in real life. Real life is a place where you want to change behavior. Training room behavior changes will take place. It's like a person going for a yoga continuously for 1 year, 2 years and all that. Every day he's going to do yoga for 1 hour in the yoga class. In the yoga class, he's very relaxed, but when he's out, he's very much shaken. The yoga that you're learning in the class, you're supposed to apply in a day-to-day behavior where you're going through stresses. That's something which many people don't do. So it becomes like an event, not like an ongoing process. The ultimate effectiveness of a training is tested by the TOT. Here we are exploring and understanding the factors that come into play for an effective TOT. Some of the crucial factors that affect TOT are trainee characteristics, your own learning curve, how fast or slow you learn, how you absorb and assimilate, how you retain and how you reproduce the same into an expected change in behavior. All the four are very important. Are you a quick learner? Are you a slow learner? That's also not so important. Some people learn slow, but once they learn, they put it into practice. Are you absorbing? That also people do. Absorption is there. They know exactly that this needs to be done. Retention is also there. The last one, reproduction, is in action. That action part of it is somewhere people find it, blocks are there. There are a lot of blocks that do not make them reproduce what they have learnt, absorbed and retained into an action. So the trainee's characteristics plays an important role in the transfer of training, which means transferring his existing behavior into a new behavior. Second is meaningfulness of the training to the mind of the trainee. The trainee has to feel that the training is meaningful. He must feel the relevance of it, the usefulness of it, and also the growth of it. Third, the ability of the trainee to unlearn and relearn new behavior. Step out of the comfort zone, come out, learn something new, and then relearn. Relearn the new thing that you've learned so that it becomes a second habit. Okay? This ability has to be pretty strong. TOT implies realizing the learned abilities of training in the form of performance at work using the learned capabilities. If I have changed my behavior from B1 to B2, it's not I who says. People will see the change in the behavior at the workplace or where it is supposed to be displaying. The transfer of training can be positive transfer, improving job performance. Directly it shows. Performance is measurable. Behavior is not. Zero transfer, no improvement in the job performance. The person goes for a training program, he comes back, nothing has happened. I'm not talking about what happens immediately after the training program, not the next day or the third day, over a period of time. And that has to be understood and monitored by the training manager, all the stakeholders, including the trainer. And that's where the handholding, other things which I spoke about in the earlier chapter, comes into picture. Negative transfer means he decreases in job performance. This is very rare. After going to a training program, the person decreases in job performance. When does it happen? When the person starts feeling cynical about training. This happens in certain very rare scenarios, but it does happen. So we must be aware of it. Training can also be classified as near transfer and far transfer. Near transfer means what is learned being directly applied on the job. I learned a new version of Windows and I put it into application. That's a near learning. Far transfer is what I learned applied in new situations in a creative ways. I learn how to run a kilometer or 10 kilometers in a certain way. I may be learning it in the track, but I may need to apply it when I'm actually going out in an adventure somewhere. That's a far transfer. Near transfer usually takes place for people who are doing the job on a daily basis. Far transfer is what you need to do in a situation which is far removed from the place where you're getting trained. Okay? Certain principles guide the transfer of learning to the workplace performance. They are, one, identical elements. Similarity between training and work environment may be a motivator. This is very rare. Whatever I'm doing in the training program, in terms of exercises, even case studies drawn from the same company from where you come, may still not be adequate when you go back there because your entire space, your entire ambience is very different. But that needs to be similar so that the motivation takes place. It's based on the work done by Thorndike and Woodworth in 1901. This sort of a finding has come into picture. It stands good even today. Now, one of the things the trainer does is ensuring that he creates a connect between what seemingly seems to be unconnected. The trainer creates a connect in the mind of the trainee so that he starts seeing a connection between what is happening in the training room and what is there at the workplace. And to that effect, to that understanding, the trainer has to have an expansive view to bring about an identical relation between the two elements. General principles, learning the basics that guide the various application phenomena may be a motivator. If he finds a meaningfulness through his thinking process and also his experience, both are mixing and matching, then he would be in a position to change his behavior into a new one. Stimulus variability, creating and changing multiple contexts, thereby exposing to more variety by makes a motivating experience. This is based on the fact that human beings get bored very soon. We are victims of boredom. something goes for too long a time, you get bored, you switch off. So keep on giving them new stimuli. Keep on keeping them into excitement so that the learning becomes a motivating experience. Support in the work environment. Workplace needs to absorb the inputs of training by making the necessary changes. This is something which few organizations do. The person goes for a training for 3 or 4 days, he comes back. He's sitting in the same seat and he wants a new form of, you know, doing things. He's asking, then somebody tells him it's enough is enough, training is over, back to business. So the training doesn't have effect. It happens in some cultures, unfortunately. So there has to be support in the work environment. It's not generally physical support, not just a physical support, but something more than that, right? There are certain factors which either encourage the learner or hinder the learning. These include the trainee characteristics. The trainee characteristics include trainability. Is he in a position to be trained? Trainability means, does he have the ability to get trained? Sometimes people are stuck up at a very, very basic level. So when you go through a training and you ask them to do something new and different, they are at loss. They can't take themselves further. You ask them to do small exercise, they can't do anything. Which implies whether the trainee is in a position to be trained and his preparedness to learn. It may be because of a mental block. It may be because he really doesn't know. It may be because he is a wrong recruit for the training program. Sometimes training managers make mistakes, being human beings. They may nominate the wrong person. It does happen sometimes. I've seen it. No fault of theirs. It just happens. Motivation on the part of the trainee to convert this preparedness into learning. This is another characteristic that plays a role in encouraging or discouraging the learning. Perception of the work environment by the trainee matters in terms of how he carries back the learning inputs into the workplace. If the perception is negative, the inputs may not be of any use. Many people, they come for training and they say, oh, this doesn't work in real life. They actually utter these statements. This is okay, the training program, but it doesn't work elsewhere. This is particularly the people with certain amount of experience. They are almost convinced that training is only knowledge. Training is not practical, it is very theoretical. They are almost convinced. Even if you tell them to do something, they'll do it mechanically. And they'll go with that feeling, even if they don't utter it in words. It doesn't work. A negative input. So the perception is already formed that it will not work in the work environment. So they go back and the training is of no use to them. Attitude of the trainee towards the organization, job roles and the training process itself. His attitude towards the organization, the job that he's taking, who's doing, and the training process. This is a very major contributor to the trainer, to their learning process. Self-concept of the trainee, the way he values himself regardless of his attributes. Self-concept plays a very important. Do you think you're worthy of whoever you are? I'm a poor man. I'm uneducated. I don't have good qualification. I'm not an MBA. You know, people come out with these statements. Self-concept is very low. And so when they go, they feel I'm not worthy of it. So when they learn also, they go in fits and starts. And because the self-concept is low, the training goes only as a knowledge. It doesn't get converted into a new behavior. People with low self-concept remain in a very unresourceful behavior for too long. To become a resourceful behavior, you have to take your self-concept into a self-esteem. Then only you can do things. Self-esteem means I'm worthy of my whatever I am. You may be the most handsome person, or you may be the not so handsome person. You may be highly qualified, you may not be highly qualified. These are all parameters on which people unfortunately create self-concepts. And they compare themselves with each other. Knowledge, skills and attitudes of the trainee. This plays a major impact in learning. Expectations depends on his self-concept and perception of the trainee. His expectation. I want the trainer to talk to me all the time. I want the trainer to pay attention to me. Otherwise, he's no good. Some people have this. I face this in some training programs. Somebody comes and tells me during break time that you don't even attend to me, you don't even look at me. I said, look, I'm not looking at anybody. Everybody is equally important. But since you said this to me, I will involve you. You want involvement, right? I want involvement. They feel left out if they are not involved. They will not involve themselves on their own because they are stuck. So it is my role to see that they are involved because that's a need they have. They come and express to me sometimes, right? Thus, the trainee is a major stakeholder in the training program. If the trainee is having mental blocks, whatever the trainer may do may not really succeed. Personal barriers to the trainee's learning could be family situation, personal problems, comfort level with the trainer, previous experience during training, ambition to grow, and the list is long. Environmental barriers to the trainings, learning could be relationship at work, co-participants in the training program, content of training, ambience of training space, etc. He may not be very happy with the environment around him. Maybe somebody whom he doesn't like is also attending the training program, so he doesn't open up and talk. Or maybe he doesn't like the content of the training, although he needs it. He doesn't like the room in which he's sitting. Or he doesn't like the way the facilities, the infrastructure is designed in the training center. No matter how well the training program is arranged, structured and delivered, at the end of the day, it's a participant or the trainee who decides whether to change his behavior or not. This should be very clearly understood by everybody, from the training manager to the trainee to the management to the trainer. It's he and he, she or she, whoever is a person attending, they have to willingly want to change their behavior. Only then things will happen, right? Trainees do not change their behavior merely because someone tells them. It's true. Human beings never change their behavior just because somebody tells them. They change only when they feel the need to change it. So the role of the trainer is to make them feel the need to change, facilitate it. Trainees change their behavior through their own learning style. I'll do it my way. Dude, you don't teach me. The trainer and the organization make every attempt to remove the mental blocks of the trainee. It's sometimes an uphill task. The trainer sometimes goes through an uphill task trying to do those things because he really wants to make changes. And the trainee says, nothing doing, thou shalt not touch me. I know what the hell I'm doing. Okay, but one doesn't give up. One keeps going on, right? Now the trainer capabilities, the focus light on trainers like me. The trainer or the facilitator is an important stakeholder in the training process. The knowledge, skill, trait, self-concept and motivate and the motive that he or she brings to the learning environment can make or break the effectiveness of the learning. He has to be highly skilled. He should not have any type of issues in his life, personal relationship issues or issues to do with his, you know, monetary situation. Or whatever he has, he must be able to be a complete person in terms of understanding himself so that he knows how to adapt to his function that he's doing. Ideally, the most important thing in this list is self-concept. His self-concept should be very high. And he must look at everybody with a high self-esteem. A person with a high self-esteem treats the other person primarily as a human being respectfully. So if you ask me what is one single trait, one single quality a trainer needs to have, he needs to have a very high self-concept, which is a direct function of the way he looks at himself and his self-esteem. If my self-esteem is high enough, then anybody who comes in front of me, regardless of if it's an MD or the peon of the company, I treat that person with a human respect which he truly deserves. In fact, the human respect is a building block of enabling the trainees to trust you. This is how it starts, okay? Therefore, selection of trainers need to be very, very judiciously done. A good trainer connects and involves with the trainees right from the start. Right from the word go, he connects. It's only a skilled trainer who can facilitate the trainee to feel comfortable, remove his mental blocks, delete his negative perceptions, and include him into the learning mode. Now comes the training design. It covers content, methodology, and delivery that affects the learning. There are some trainers who don't have a proper content. They make people dance around and do some activities and people do not know what they've done at the end. So content is very important. Content is a theme on which the training is being imparted. Training program for conflict management, the content is conflict. The content has to be clearly spelled out. If the content is not known and you just do an activity, you'll come to know. Some people say that. That doesn't work. Methodology, next one. Methodology involves the procedural approach, the logic behind it, the steps of delivery to make the training effective. There has to be methodology and people have to notice it. You have to spell it out also. It can't go haywire. Third is delivery, how you deliver it. It covers the actual imparting of the training inputs in terms of involved communication, participative exercises, role plays, etc., etc., etc. Right? Now the training environment also matters to quite an appreciable extent. It covers both the physical as well as the psychological environment, the latter being more significant for a conducive training atmosphere. Physical environment comprises the internal ambience, the decor, the table layout, positions of various training aids, how comfortable you are sitting in that hall. Is it too cold? AC is too, is at a very low temperature? Or is it too hot? Do we have all the tables cluttered together? Are you feeling comfortable overall? The ambience, physical environment. This needs to be pleasantly designed. Psychological environment largely comprises one's way of relating to the training, the trainer, the ambience, etc. It's a role of the trainer to ensure that the psychological environment is taken care of. There are times when I've encountered the physical environment is not conducive the way I want it, nor the company wants it. It happens. So what is in my hands is psychological environment. I try to pep up people. I try to ensure that people are comfortable in the surroundings, and through various means, and through that what happens is people are in the flow of the training. So in most cases, it reflects the mental blocks of the person. So the mental block needs to be addressed and try to be cleared. If a participant has some issue with the trainer, through his behavior you come to know, handle it, diffuse it, and make him participate. These are all the things that a trainer has to do. He has to do it. Role of organization, training and development. In any training scenario, traditionally we find five interrelated elements. This is my favorite model. This is something which we have to understand. The trainee, the top management who are endorsing the training, who want the training to happen. The training manager, who is the interface between the company and the outsider. The departmental head under whom the trainee is working, because he is a person who wants, who can see the changes happening. He is a person who says that this junior of mine needs a training. And finally, the trainer. An organization has a very close relationship with the trainee and the trainer because it's the first contact for both. Right? The demand for the training in the organization increases when the organization wants one to hire new people. Training as a means of training new recruits. So when you hire new people, you have to train them, orient them into the company's culture and working. When the company wants to expand, it increases its headcount. You need to train people. To increase certain number of staff by a certain date, even there you need a training. To enhance the performance of employees, I want to take your performance from P1 to P2, higher level. Then I need you to go for a training. Organizations named to be a part of the training unit. Okay. The organization plays a key role in the overall effectiveness of the training. They need to be crystal clear about the goal to be achieved through training, communicate the same to all stakeholders, create the learning ambience, and sanction the time and the other resources for the learning to take place. The organization plays a key role in the overall effectiveness. It's the organization that plays a key role, not the training manager alone, the top management, not the trainer alone. It is they who have to calibrate us, all of us, and they have to tell us that this is what we want from time to time. And they must be clear about what they want. They can't be flirting around with one idea and then again going to the second idea, then keep on changing the whole thing. That can be stressful for everybody. Sometimes top management is not clear about what they want to train. They want results. And the way they brief is something very, not very clear in some cases. The organization plays a critical role of integrating all the five elements together. The trainee, the top management, the training manager, the departmental, and the trainer. That's their role. All of them should be congruent in terms of what they understand. There should not be Chinese whispers. There should not be distortions. These are the five steps: identifying training needs, factors that enhance learning, selecting participants, defining expectations from the program, monitoring trainees' progress, and transforming training into the field. Factors enhancing learning further, taking it further, facilitation of training through organization intervention. By intervention is meant the process of facilitation to give inputs to an identified issue within a department, a division, or the whole company. Intervention and issue, both are related. There is an issue, there is something that is not happening. It's a training gap. That training gap needs an intervention, not interference. Intervention means I need to enable the gap to close by giving inputs so that the issue gets solved. It is not one person, it's an issue involving a number of people, a group, a department, a division, or the whole company. That's why we got the popular term called OD intervention, organization development intervention. Intervention means we got a number of issues that need to be solved. So the intervention comes in, and that needs a far more multifarious approach. It's not just one single area of conflict or team building or something. It's a number of things coming together. Organizational intervention is an important part of what is currently employed in many organizations called as OD, organization development. Many a time, organizations by default dilute the learning process of the trainee, resulting in zero or negative transfer of training. Why does the organization dilute the learning process? Is it done deliberately? No, it is because after the learning is over, it just goes, the application is absent. The conditions, old conditions still continue. Nobody is willing to change it, right? Facilitation of training through organization intervention. The organization has to ensure that the learning of the trainee is allowed to be implemented at the workplace without any hindrance if the management is very serious about the changes. A learning organization is one that is ideal for playing such a role. The trainee, freshly back from the training program, needs peer support for the transfer of training to occur. Very obvious. Many a time, one or more than one person from the department attends the training due to budgetary constraints, resulting in behavioral issues between the trainees and the one who couldn't attend the training. This can happen. I'm sending you for a training, but the other four of my subordinates, I'm not sending them. So they may have a problem with you, or you may have a problem with them. Now this needs to be understood and addressed. This is a person to whom the trainee is supposed to be reporting. He has a major role to, by position of his power, to facilitate the TOT to all concerned. Supervisor needs to reduce negative factors that come in the way of the TOT. Trainer support has a major impact on the TOT. His role is extended beyond the training premises to the workplace through various methods like follow-up, hand-holding, etc. So the trainer becomes a partner in the whole process in the TOT. The climate of the workplace also needs to be supportive. By climate is meant the general informal ambience of at the operational level of the working. You go for a training and you come back, and the informal ambience on a day-to-day when you're working every minute, every second, every hour, that should not become something which is stressful and inimical, which is more of conflict region. It should not be. Many a time, climates could be cynical towards a trained person and may use discouraging methods to stall the transfer of training. This happens. A person goes for a good training. He comes back and suddenly he finds that there is a lot of, negative forces. They don't cooperate with him, etc., etc. It happens. Okay. Similarly, the culture of the company, which comprises the formal top level structure of the working, should also be supportive to the trainee, obviously. For every training undergone, an immediate reward system goes a long way. Immediate, not after 10 months or 6 months or after appraisal. It acts as a motivator for the trainee to take his training seriously and to implement it and transfer it successfully. Now, these are the factors that are enhancing learning. You can read them. So I come to my author's perspective about this particular chapter. Organizations invest huge amount of resources in training and developing their manpower. They do. Few of them are really committed strategic partners to the training process. As a result, their involvement to ensure that the TOT is effective is found wanting. Nobody keeps track, nobody follows up. Few people do that to the end to see that this person has really changed his behavior from B1 to B2 irreversibly. And the results are coming. Nobody closes the loop, they keep it open. At the same time, organizations are critical about training and trainers and HR in general, making it appear as if training is a cost burden. It does happen. Certain cultures expect quick fix transfer of training without any support systems, assuming that the trainee has to carry the TOT having undergone the training. Immediately they want results. It is imperative that all five stakeholders, the trainee, the top management, departmental head, HRD, and the trainer, are in congruence with the same goal, driving till the end through collaboration. And with this, my dear friends, I end this module. Thank you and wish you all the best.